Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So, when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome into the Coppola Studios for episode 253 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs, together again.
Yay.
Yay. Should we celebrate for because it's Tuesday?
Because our kids are back in school.
And kids are back in school. Celebrate.
And it's Tuesday.
And it's Tuesday. And here we go.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Okay. How are you? Let's catch up.
Okay.
We survived Snowmageddon.
We did survive Snowmageddon. I am doing great. Thank you.
Okay.
It was crazy. I mean, it was just, I wasn't prepared for another, like, I call it sloth mode. Like when you're just like a literal sloth and you're just loitering around the house and you're in your sweatpants and your UGG slippers and you're just eating random things out of the fridge and your kids are just playing with random toys and
they're
playing
feral.
Way too many hours of video games in my son's case because he just got an Xbox. And so we had all these like plans and rules and guidelines and I'm like, F it. Like,
yeah.
We're all home. Like, yeah. Whatever.
There's no rules.
No rules.
When you're like, stuck in the house.
There can't be. No. Every once in a while, they go out and play in the snow and it was cute. And then I felt better about my parenting because they were playing in the snow.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. It's adorable. But they can't play too long.
They can't play too
cold
long.
As fuck.
I didn't want to go out there either.
Yeah.
I was cold as fuck.
Yeah.
So, but we survived and we had company in town. And it ended up actually being kind of fun because the kids got to see them more and we weren't just like rushing all around. And so it was good and it felt really good to kind of get back in the swing of things this week. Although they were like, they do not want to wake up.
I know.
You know, they think that they never have to go back to school.
Yeah.
They forgot what it's like to set an alarm.
I know. Yeah. It is nice to have, it was time for some routine. I mean, we're going on like a month of just feralness.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's same thing. So we had family come in town too. And my sister and her kids, my niece and nephew on their way back to Texas Tech to, you know, finish up their or begin their second semester or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, the kids were going to be in school all day and then we would just hang out with them after. And so they got to spend all the time with them. Sarah and the kids got here Wednesday. The storm hit on Thursday. No school Thursday, Friday. So we had, you know, a solid 4 days to spend with them. It was so fun. There are some rules at my house during snowstorms.
Okay, tell me about them.
So I had
shoes off, right?
If you're going out in the snow, you need to take your shit off when you get inside.
Uh-huh.
So they got in on Wednesday, and so I was like, "We're going to the store. Let's go. Or first, we go into the house. Let's do food inventory." Let's go ahead and plan out the menus for the next couple of days to make sure we have all the food we need. That way we don't have to leave. So I had meals planned out for 2 days.
What if people didn't like want
that? Then you fend for yourself.
Okay.
I had a whole like menu planned. I got a puzzle.
Yes. How did it go?
I got a puzzle. It went exactly how I told you it would go.
Did you end up fighting?
I didn't fight. I tried. I got out a puzzle.
You're getting so stressed out.
I know. It
just
stresses me out.
About
yes.
It.
So I got out a puzzle table and then I got out the Mahjong table. And so we had its activities. We had things to do and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, get out the puzzle table. We open up the puzzle and I'm just like, don't you think we should group these by color and put all the blah? And they're like, and Emily, it's just beat it, you know, basically. So I was like, okay, fine. So I just would kind of like look at it out of the corner of my eye all the time. And like one time I sat down and I was like, oh, this is too overwhelming. Like I can't, I don't like, and they had like the outside done and there was like the hole that hadn't been done, but there was random pieces in there. I'm like, don't you need
That's
to get
the
those
whole point of a puzzle.
Right. But I'm like, don't you need to get those random pieces out of this big section that you need to fill in? And they're like, again, Aunt Emily, please beat it. Like, please leave us alone. And so I was like, fine. So every once in a while I'd go over and there would be like a whole section complete, but there would be one piece missing. And so all I would do is just find that one piece and I'd be like, done. My work here is done. And I did it twice. And that's all I did.
It's
so
a good feeling.
750 so pieces and I put two of them in place.
750.
750. Did that. We went and bought sleds. There was no sleds in stock. So we bought cat litter boxes.
Oh.
They're like these little tubs like that would have.
Oh, I know a cat litter box.
I'm sure you do. All the berries in the boxes.
All my berries used them sometimes.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So we were ready.
Shat all over the place.
Yeah. Or, yeah. And these,
and, which is why they got shipped off.
This
and,
is true.
And passed.
Oh, bless.
But anyway, I digress.
So we were ready and we did. And Mike ended up getting stuck, as I thought, in Arkansas.
You called that one.
I called it. But you know what? Looking back, because my sister-in-law actually ended up spending one night with us because she had a pipe burst or something burst and they didn't have running water. So she spent the night. My mom spent the night. And I'm like, when Mike finally got home on Saturday and he was there for like 3 hours, I'm like, thank God you got stuck there. Like you would have.
What would he have done?
He would have gone nuts.
Yeah.
He would have gone absolutely nuts because my sister's husband didn't come. So it would have been like, he would have been, and we were all wheels off and crazy and yelling and blah, blah, blah. But we had a blast. And I learned how to cook on the Traeger grill and I learned how to cook on the Blackstone.
You really don't need him anymore.
I made fried rice, like a stir fry. And then I did steaks on the Traeger.
Look at you.
I was so proud of myself. But there were things like we had a routine, like every morning I would get up, I would work out, make breakfast. And then it was like, you take maybe play a game of Mahjong, and then we would take a break for laundry. I'd be like, okay, laundry break, everyone. And so like I'd do a load of laundry and then everybody would.
You sounded so fun for a minute there.
But it was like, hey, Aunt Emily can be really fun if she gets all her shit done. And then we can like, you know, have a really good time.
Until
it's time to do laundry break. Again.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I'm proud of
so
you.
So it is. And then the last night, they thought it was really funny to start effing with me. And this was my kids and my niece and my nephew, where they started moving stuff around my house. Mm. Moving stuff in my pantry, threatening to open up bottles of wine that are really just decoration. Yes. Like all these things. And so I kind of lost lost my shit. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. You guys sleep well. And when I get up to go work out in the morning at around, 6:30 or 7, and I got a spoon and a metal bowl out and I started banging on it. I was like,
why is there no video of any of this?
And I was like, this is what will happen. And I'm like, ding, 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 rise and shine, everybody. And they're like, you would do it. I'm like, why wouldn't I do it? Why wouldn't I do it? I'm up. Like, if y'all are gonna F with me, I'm gonna F with you. So I'm like, you've got one chance before you go to bed to put all my shit back and then I won't mess with you. And I'll let you sleep in.
I like that.
Yeah.
I love
so
that.
So powerful.
And it worked.
It worked.
Okay, good.
I wasn't going to do it anyway. And I actually slept until 7:30 that day.
Good for you.
So, yeah. It was fun. We had a great time.
Yeah.
I was so glad. My children now know how to play Mahjong and love it. And it excites me. I can't tell you how much this excites me. It's because it's like we can actually now
play together.
Teach Mike, but we can all play together. And the fact that the kids grasp it and they love it. I mean, they're still not great. I'm not good at it, but it's such a fun game. It's so much fun.
I can't figure it out.
You can't?
No.
You can.
I've tried. I've taken some lessons. Like, I just can't. Like, I just melt.
You can't. You let me teach you because I teach it. I feel like I teach Mahjong for dummies.
You do?
Well, yeah. That's the first time I've ever taught anybody. But I really, because I I'll teach it. We need to have a Mahjong party.
Let's do it. Yeah. And I have a good friend who even like teaches it as a job, but I still, it's like Charlie Brown voice when someone tries to teach me Mahjong.
But I feel like what happens is the people who know too much.
Yeah.
They know too much. Like with me, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know hardly anything.
I get stuck at trying to pick out the one I'm going for.
I know.
I'm like, there's 170 things here. How do I pick
what? And then there's rules. Like, you can't use a joker with a pair. And you can't, like, so for a million years, when I first started playing, every time I would think I would Mahjong, and I'd be like, Mahjong, motherfuckers!
Same.
And then they'd be like, oh, yeah. Actually,
and it's so defeating and embarrassing. And then I just put my tail between my legs and walk off. And then I'm not in any of the invite groups anymore for Mahjong. So that's where you quit having the opportunity. Like, Mahjong has carried on without me. So how am I ever going to...
Like me in tennis.
Yes. It's like you in tennis. And tennis I'm better at.
I got asked to be on a tennis.
I know.
I have drills tomorrow.
Oh, nice. And matches on Fridays? USTA?
Sure.
I think you will. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That'll be fun. But yeah, it was a great time. We need to do something with Maj.
We do. Well, my friend Bethany is the Mahjong, and North Texas Food Bank is having a big Mahjong event.
Okay.
Yeah, because Bethany goes and teaches at it.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Okay. Well,
so we could get involved with them. We'll figure that out.
It's a very overwhelming game, but once you get a few reps under you, it really is manageable. But yeah, it's super fun. So anyway, highly successful.
I don't know that I have time in my life or my brain.
I know.
I picked pickleball and tennis. Like, I like those athletic hobbies because then I'm kind of working out.
I get it.
That said, I'm complaining because I'm not invited. So I should try harder and then maybe I can be on the
text. You don't have to be great. I mean, I suck still, but it's like, it's still fun.
Yeah.
It's like not just sitting around, you know, it's like you're actually, I don't know.
Well, you're exercising your brain. I think it'd be good for my Alzheimer's that's coming for me.
For sure. Oh.
Whether I like it or not, it is. So I think Mahjong could help.
Okay.
Well, so that's a good catch up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's supposed to get super cold again next week, I think, but no snow or anything like that.
Yeah. And I don't know that we have anywhere like built in here, but I don't know. Maybe in the social media, we can talk about California a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we definitely need to.
Because that's all I'm seeing on mine. And it's just.
I know. I will say, too, over the snow break, I watched more news than I have watched probably in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Because that's my sister watches the news. My mom watches the news. Like, and I was like, this is the news. This is wheels off. Y'all be crazy up in here. Like,
yeah.
They're crazy.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's not even like there's no like even attempts to be like neutral.
Oh, no.
It depends
what news channel you put it on.
I guess so. I tried to sample a lot of them and I was like, this seems weird.
Yeah, there's no real like, I guess, news down the middle. And then I guess some are trying to say they're down the middle, but then
I don't think anybody is.
They're probably
if
not.
If you know a down the middle news organization, holler.
I think
at
you have to find them on the gram. Like, there's people that say like,
I know.
And then they get popular because they just
that
give
House
you the
and Abbott chick.
Yeah.
I had to stop following her.
Yeah, she turned.
She was a liberal and then she turned Republican. And then she basically was just like on the Trump campaign. Like,
you know,
I know that we could have a whole. My girlfriends are so into her. And toward the end of the election, I was like, I can't take her anymore. Like, I can't. It's
too much. She went hard Trump?
Not even hard. I don't know. It's just so different from like the journalism that I went to, and you too went to journalism school.
It's all changed.
It's all different. I'm just being a grumpy old lady.
Well, honestly. I think it's kind of cool how it's changed in a way because now, like, I'm learning about all the wildfires because I'm watching personal accounts of people who are having their house burned down.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's how I'm learning about it.
Yeah.
I'm not watching the news. I'm hearing people and seeing videos of people going around with phones and putting it immediately up on social media.
But don't you find yourself being skeptical even of those people? I find myself being skeptical. If I don't know you personally and you put something out there, I don't know if I believe it.
I mean,
I've reached that point where, you know, we've talked about it, like the people crying videos and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, are you real? Why are you doing? I don't get it. I don't know.
Yeah, like, there are people like that. But the ones that I'm looking at, like, they're real people. I can tell. And I'll go back and look at their profile. And it's like a normal person, like me or you. And they're crying and they're talking about their family and their kids. And this has burned down. And then you've got all the celebrities whose houses have burned down.
Well, we can talk about it in the news desk.
Let's do it.
We have some real big sports stuff.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Sports courts brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care, which I'm going to talk about. And then also a new little sponsor here on the Mom Game, Qualis Roofing, which you will talk about right after this. But, I have one question for you. Are you tired of wearing glasses? I know I was. That's why I had a custom lens replacement from Tylock George Eye Care. It is one of the many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmology experts at Tylock George. You can see your world both clearly both from afar and close up. They offer 24 months interest-free financing at Tylock George for those who qualify. If you've got questions about what would be best for you, Julie got the LASIK. I got the custom lens replacement because I'm old AF and I had LASIK like 17 years ago and it wore off. Custom lens replacement, I will not have to have cataract surgery. Nothing else should have to be done to my eyeballs except for this whole dry eye shit I got going on. But I can see clearly. I don't need readers anymore. It really is life-changing. I've had a lot of people ask me about it lately. I was at a thing, Hattie's First Cotillion, which, oh my Lord, we'll have to talk about that later. I shouldn't say it like that. Anyway, I had people ask about that there. They're like, what is this eye surgery you keep talking about? But yeah, it's custom lens replacement. Julie got the LASIK. Tylock George is the place to do it. Give them a call, mention the Mom Game for a special discount, or use our exclusive URL, which is tylock.com/TMG. Holla.
That's right. Sports Court's also brought to us by a new partner here on the show, Qualis Roofing and Construction. They are friends of our friends over on the Dumb Zone. They've been working with them over on that show. And we're excited to work with them now here on the Mom Game. I'm calling January Home Improvement Month here on the Mom Game, okay, because we have some new home improvement sponsors here on the show. And also, I just feel like January's kind of that month where you take stock in your surroundings and, yep, what do you need to improve on? What do you need to budget for? What do we need to fix around here? How do we get our priorities in line? I know that's kind of what we're doing with our house. And you might not have thought about your roof lately, so it's a good time to do it. And we have the people to call. Qualis Roofing and Construction. They're your trusted local roofing contractors offering the highest quality roofing and construction services. They're founded by three friends and business partners. They were brought to life in order to change the game in the roofing industry. Their goal was to bring a level of customer service and community that the residents of Dallas have yet to experience with roofers. I love this. It's three friends, business partners who started this, and they're really good people. And that's important, I feel like, when you're trusting somebody with your house, with your roof, with your money. They believe that building relationships is just as important as building a sturdy, stylish roof for their customers. They're locally owned and they have more than 7 decades of combined industry experience. They're here to serve you with first-rate roofing and construction services in DFW and all the surrounding areas. All kinds of things that they offer: roof replacement and installation, roof repair, storm restoration services, roof maintenance. Just give them a call and ask them about what they can do for you. Quality is a top priority of all of their customers. And I bet you might not realize. I mean, we don't get up there and like survey our roofs very often, but yeah, there's something that's very important. And you could probably just use a check to see if you need any help in that area. Call 817-500-9008 for service in the DFW area. Mention the Mom Game, please. Or they do have an online web form to schedule your free estimate of your home and your roof. It is Qualis, QualisGC.com. Qualis, QualisGC.com. Go on there, say you heard about them from us here on the Mom Game, and you'll get a free estimate.
Yeah. Okay. So
Home Improvement Month.
Yes. Cheers, Qualis. So Mike McCarthy's out. He is out.
He is.
Yeah.
And I knew that was happening.
You did.
I just did.
I know. I just felt like the longer it went on, maybe they might keep him around. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's the right decision for both parties. I'm sure Mike McCarthy's like, F this. I want out of here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it just wasn't working. Like last year's playoff experience was a debacle. It was embarrassing. And then the next year is embarrassing, but you don't even have the chance to get into the playoffs and do anything to make last year's experience feel a little bit better. Like, so why would that head coach stick around? I don't know. Everyone was trying to say, well, he's won a Super Bowl and this and that, and Jerry's endorsing him after the season, and what else are you going to find? And, well, everybody was hurt, but I'm like, the bottom line is he's not getting it done.
Yeah.
Like, and we have higher expectations here.
Right,
Jerry's not going anywhere.
But who's going to be able to get it done? I mean, 29 years, Julie, since they've won a Super Bowl.
Like, I know.
And how, I mean, the last time they made it to the NFC Championship game has been a long time. I don't know how many years. But with the way that this thing is currently structured, who on the planet can exist in these conditions and get.
But these conditions are these conditions.
Right.
So exactly. It's not like Jerry's going to say, well.
100%. That's my question.
Right.
So.
But that's the never.
This is
a question
changing.
That can never be answered.
Right. This is
that's
changing.
Why it's so frustrating.
So who can maximize this?
If anything, it's not a specific person, but it's a different voice. It's a change. Like,
oh, yeah,
if
yeah.
something's not working,
100%.
It's like if you're running your head into the wall over and over and
it's
over.
The definition of insanity.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and we know Jerry's not changing. We know it's a terrible situation right. for a head coach to walk into, and you're not going to be able to, you know, run things the way you want.
If somebody wins a Super Bowl with the Cowboys while Jerry Jones is still alive, they will, in my opinion, be the greatest coach
yeah.
of all time.
Right.
And it won't even be close.
Yeah.
If someone comes in here and wins a Super Bowl while Jerry is still alive, 100% best coach to ever walk this earth.
Yeah.
Ever.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, you put him in immediately.
All the things.
Okay. So who's your money? I don't want to spend too much time on this because it's like the same thing we've talked about 800
times. And it's like what everyone in the world is talking
it
about.
Is, right.
But I'm a little confused because I, you know, you hear like Deion Sanders being talked about
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and I
so
saw.
So that's what I want to do. I want to put our money on who do we think? Let's have a little fun game here.
So who's in the conversation? Deion Sanders,
Cliff Kingsbury. Oh gosh. Who's the hot name?
Well, we talked about Ben Johnson.
Yes,
last
Ben
week.
Johnson.
Are there any old fuddy-duddies? Or are we talking about all...
Pete Carroll.
Okay, so there's one old fuddy-duddy.
I
feel like we went old fuddy-duddy with McCarthy, with...
Parcells.
Yeah, and our...
But but don't you feel like Jerry likes that
he
familiarity,
does.
Right?
Yes.
And
what's
was
our defensive
topic.
Coordinator right now?
Zimmer.
Yeah. That was an old fuddy-duddy. So I feel like now it's like you go hot young thing, it doesn't work. Then you go hot old fuddy-duddy phase. Now we're back into hot young thing phase.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to pick a hot young thing.
And so any people were talking about like, would he go try to go get Sark or Lincoln Riley or whatever? I mean, I think of those like... the younger pool. And here's the thing though, like that pool isn't exactly young anymore.
Right.
Like, that's not,
and
you know,
Lincoln Riley, like what does
right.
he do to prove that he's
exactly.
ready to come?
And at least like with Cliff, at least there is, he does have NFL head coaching experience.
Yeah.
It wasn't the greatest in Arizona, but he's at least has been in that situation before. But Cliff has not been successful as a head coach at the college level or at the pro level.
I'd love to get him,
you know,
here as an offensive coordinator.
Yes,
you know?
I think everybody would. You know who I really like, and he's part of the Dan Campbell coaching tree, and he has ties to the Cowboys, is Aaron Glenn.
Okay,
remember Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
For some reason that he would be. I
didn't even know
listen,
that he was
I don't
somebody
know.
That's surfacing as.
I don't okay. know if he is. I mean, I think I've heard his name thrown around, but
yeah.
he's on Dan Campbell's staff.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like I knew him very, very minimally when he played for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And always thought he was a good dude, which in no way qualifies you to be a head coach of an NFL franchise. But I don't know. I guess that if I'm going to throw a name out there, like I think we need to put our bets down.
Okay.
So I think let's go to this. Let's do this. Let's do a who you think, and then maybe a dark horse. And I'm going to go Cliff just because he's my buddy. So
Terry
I'm going
Glenn.
Cliff is my dude.
There's confusion because Terry Glenn's the like former receiver.
Oh, shit. Is that who I'm thinking
well,
of?
Terry Glenn passed away.
Oh, no, Julie. This is
right?
bad.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron Glenn played here?
Well, maybe. He's 52 years old now.
Yeah.
I don't
Am I thinking of the dead?
That's what I'm trying to work through in my brain right now. You might be right. I mean, he's 52 years old, so.
Wait, do you have a picture of him?
Yeah.
Oh, this is really awkward for me. Oh, that is not too
awkward. Because when you said that, I was like, well, I knew Terry Glenn a little
did,
bit.
You know? And
when
this
I worked
is...
there, and then, yeah.
So, welcome to, welcome to me looking like a total jackass. So, Aaron Glenn also seems very nice.
And Terry Glenn is no longer.
He's not. Okay.
It was an auto accident.
Well, if you came
at
here
age
for
43,
like.
43.
If you.
Back in 2017.
If you. I do remember him dying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
he's
right.
the one that played for the Cowboys.
Okay. Where did Aaron Glenn play? This is so awkward for for everyone, including me.
It happens to the best of us.
If you came here,
a lot of people go through the NFL.
If you came here for in-depth coverage on the Ranger, I mean the Cowboys' search for a new head coach, you've come to the right place. I will not steer you wrong. Where did he play? Please tell me that. Who? Aaron Glenn. Tell me about Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
He seems really smart.
I don't know much about Aaron Glenn,
but he's on Dan Campbell's staff.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
That you're right about.
Right. And I like what Dan Campbell has done.
Yes, that is true. You have a lot of great sports takes. You don't need, everything you're saying is right up until that point.
Up until
Aaron Glenn is not Terry Glenn.
Okay, well, and now we've established that. So,
yes.
But you know what? Now I'm going to dig even deeper. I'm going to put all my chips in on Aaron Glenn.
I think you should, kind of like I did with Trey Lance.
Oh, and
it's like once you kind of know you're wrong, you just dig
you just
right
keep going
in.
Yeah,
I don't really believe in Trey Lance, but I just like digging in.
I need to know that Aaron Glenn played one snap of football for the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
That's all I need.
Well, maybe we need to get him on the show. We just need to go all in on Aaron Glenn.
Well, you know, thanks for tuning in for our educated sports talk here.
All in on Aaron Glenn. That's the name of this episode.
All in on Aaron Glenn. I love it. Okay, who's your pick?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Deion Sanders. Like, it keeps coming up. I just feel like that'd be silly a little bit. I mean, it'd be exciting. It'd be sexy. Everyone would be talking about it.
But they would be talking too much about him.
Fire under everybody's ass, I guess. But I don't know that that's what.
And I don't think Jerry would put up. Like, I mean, I don't think Deion would. He's not
going to just be a minion.
Right.
I mean, the Ben Johnson name has sounded appealing for a long time. I think we do need somebody that is young and that is smart, very smart, and that has some good experience. And I don't know that people can just trust and believe in. But I don't want somebody that's like a retread. I don't know.
And this isn't an easy position to fill, despite what people think. In fact, Troy Aikman, who played for the Cowboys for a number of years in the Hall of Fame, in the Ring of Honor, I love the fact that Troy speaks his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he had to say about the Cowboys head coaching position being a quote unquote coveted position.
As far as a coveted job, I don't know that that's accurate. I mean,
really?
I do think the Cowboys are obviously a high-profile team. Whoever is covering or whoever is head coach of that team is certainly going to draw a lot of attention. But I think most football people that take over as a head coach, they want to do it on their terms.
That's
and
fair.
That's hard to do. And it's, you know, if you take a Dan Campbell, for instance, is Dan Campbell Dan Campbell if he's with the Dallas Cowboys? It's hard to imagine that he is. It's hard to imagine that a lot of these coaches might be. So you know, I love the Dallas Cowboys. I played there for 12 years. I wish them well. But to say that it's a coveted job, I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with that.
So this is what I love about Troy is that now he's in his, I'll say whatever the fuck I want.
IDGAF era.
Yes. And I am here for it. Mm-hmm. He's like, look, I've accomplished all this stuff. I'm in the Ring of Honor. I'm in the Hall of Fame. I have a successful broadcasting career. I've got Elite 8 Light Lager. He's tearing shit up and he's like, I'm going to say, I'm not pulling any punches. I'm not going to, you know, go easy on anybody just because they've been, and obviously Jerry Jones has been great to Troy Aikman and he loves him. He loves the Cowboys organization, but he's not going to blow smoke up anybody's skirt anymore. And
no.
He's just like, no, it's not a coveted job. And I don't feel like it is around the NFL.
And Jerry has this power of over a lot of people.
And I don't even think, at least not always, maybe now more so than he did. I don't think he's always exercised it. Like he's always like intentionally done that.
I think
people just
have
deferred.
He's a powerful man in the NFL.
He's
a wealthy, powerful man in the NFL and the world and Dallas and everywhere. He's influential because he's got a lot of money. That's how the world works.
Yeah.
And I think Troy's in a place where he, like you said, he just doesn't care. And he's also close enough with him that Jerry needs Troy, or maybe doesn't need him, but their relationship is such that Troy can say whatever he wants about Jerry and about
because
the Cowboys.
Because he doesn't need anything from Jerry Jones.
Exactly. Yeah. He's done enough on his own, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
And I like how at the end of that clip there, you can kind of see Troy like smirk right after he says it because he knows he's like blowing shit up as he walks away. Like that little meme of the girl with the blowing up the house behind her. Like, you know, she's just like, ha, I know what I did here.
A cigarette.
And like, Troy knows it's going to be in all the headlines and all the guys on set. Like they are great. Like they're professionals. They have wonderful opinions, but they do feel that Jerry Jones influence because they're, you know, whatever. They work for ESPN. They're, you know, trying to make, they make a lot of money as a broadcaster on ESPN Monday Night Football. We saw that also with when Jason Kelce talked about Dallas being the armpit of the NFL. And he was kind of just being real and making a joke because he played for Philly and all the other guys left him out to dry.
They're like,
I can't believe you'd say that about Dallas and
Jerry. Clutching their pearls.
It's like, it's actually the same set, right? Monday Night Football. So it's that same group of guys. And so, you know, they know who's involved in the NFL and writing, paying their bills and writing their paychecks.
Good for Troy, though, to be.
It's great.
God, it's such a great place to be in life.
Yeah.
Like, just like, I'm just going to say
and
what
he
I feel.
Really knows. And the type of broadcasters that can, like, spit reality like that are the type of broadcasters that we need and we need more of. Because, I don't know, we don't just need talking heads. We need people that can bring something different to the table and that have that real knowledge and can speak reality, right?
Like,
so I think it's pretty cool, and I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah,
anybody that's close to the situation knows that what he said was accurate.
More of that and more Troy spitting truth for sure. Okay, we're going to do some little what's on your feed?
Yeah, but let's talk real quick about...
oh, what am I forgetting?
Let's do one more clip about the Longhorns.
Oh, yes.
Because I was at that game, so...
Okay, yes. Yes, we need to talk about that. Because, okay, well, first of all, follow up. You went to the Cotton Bowl.
I went to the Cotton Bowl.
And you took Ryder with you.
I took Ryder.
It looked like the best time. Was he in heaven?
He was in heaven. So, you know, we had Michael Conradi on our show here. He's the CMO of the Cotton Bowl. And I was on the Cotton Bowl committee back in the day. And my friend Krista now works with the Cotton Bowl committee. She used to work for the Stars. I've known her for a long time. We actually, our kids shared a nanny a million years ago. Like, she's just a good friend for a long time. And Ryder is just obsessed with football in general. He doesn't have a team. He doesn't have a player. He's just loves football. And
I love that for him.
Yeah.
And
it's good.
And I can't wait to see who he gloms onto.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what team, what player?
Yeah, I guess it's like sort of OU just because of Kelly. Yeah. But it's so funny. He wore a jersey there. Gosh, who was
Seahawks,
it?
Seahawks, wasn't it?
No, no? He wore the Bengals jersey there. But basically, he just loves big name players because of fantasy football.
Okay.
And he's not like into any particular team. So it's just kind of a phenomenon, I think, with kids now that play fantasy football, but don't necessarily love a team or love a player.
Yeah.
They just love big name guys. But anyway, he's really into it. And he knew the Cotton Bowl was going to be here and he didn't really care. He knew that OU was playing here. We missed, you know, kind of didn't really want to go to that game. It didn't work out with our schedule. So I just texted Krista. I was like, hey, any chance, you know, you could help with getting tickets to the Cotton Bowl or even like the Shrine Bowl coming up. We could watch some of the young guys that are trying to get into the league, whatever. He just wants to go to a game. Not thinking, like, I was just going to buy tickets, whatever. And then a couple weeks later, she's like, yeah, let me see. I'm trying to move some things around. Let me see what I can do. And then we're in New Mexico and we're like getting on the ski lift and I get a text and she says, okay, I have passes for y'all. Pre-game tickets. Post game on the field. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I told you I was dangling that for him as kind of like leverage. So fun. Just him and I, you know, I was a little nervous about going out there by myself. I'm getting old. I was like driving and it was icy and late at night. And do I Uber? Do I park? You know, all that. But so worth like all of the headache and just had the greatest time with him. It was a really good game. It was really interesting being in the perspective of like having a kid and being a mom at a giant college football game. I sent y'all some pictures.
Oh, you did.
Of people that were like passed
oh,
out.
Oh my gosh.
So many drunk people.
So many. There was like three in a 5 minute span.
I'm talking like a guy behind us vomited. Like it was insane, you know, and when you're there drinking and partying, it's kind of like whatever. But when you're with your son, you're like, ooh. Yeah. And I didn't even have a drink. I was like, why would I leave him and like go, you know, I was just like, I'm all in on him today. Like, this is all for him. But just watching him watch them, I was like, oh God. He came back and he told Kelly, he's like, one guy was like sleeping the whole time. Well, how could you sleep during
just
a football game?
A
yeah, like, what? How was he so? It was such a good game. Like, why was he so tired? It's just like, oh, sweet boy. But it was. It was a really good game. And being out on the field, you know, he got a picture with the Buckeye, and we walked all the way around the entire field pregame, and then postgame, we went back out there. Ohio State won. He decided he was going for them because he's a Sooner, so he didn't really want the Longhorns to win.
Yep.
And it was kind of great how it worked out, because if the Longhorns had won, it would have been still been really crazy, because it was like 3/4 Longhorns fans in there. And a bunch of them, I think, would have been down on the field one way or another. They're Longhorns fans. They would have been on the field, right? So it was like, you know, not a ton of people down there. He's running around. He was practicing his 40. He was like doing snow angels in the confetti, taking pictures with the trophy, just like something he'll never forget. So big thank you to the Cotton Bowl, and just something that, you know, I was super excited to get to bring him, proud to get to bring him. And I know they were glad to be able to come on the Mom Game. So whatever they need from us, from me, you know, happy to help. And they really did put on a great show. They had Shaq performing pregame.
I know, I saw that.
So it was just awesome. And I think something that they can be proud of, and that the Metroplex can be proud of. It was a playoff football game.
And it was a great game.
Yeah.
And I am on the record here that I am an SEC hater, self-proclaimed. I am not going to hide it or deny it. And not even necessarily the conference, but the people who tout that the conference is just so much better than everybody else. Ugh, makes me nauseous. But anyway, it's funny, like the national championship game's coming up next week, and is there an SEC team in there? I don't think there is.
She's
sick
back.
Burn. No.
Your SEC take has gone crazy on Twitter. It's so funny.
And I will not read
the Twitter. TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, I'm very self-aware. Like, listen, and I know, listen, I would kill for my school to have been in the semifinals. Are you kidding? Like, I get it. I know. But I don't, it's not that I'm in denial about where my school or where my conference is. It's the fact that these SEC elitists it's just so much. Anyway. So it was hard for me to root. I wasn't rooting for Texas. There's zero chance I would ever root for Texas. It's just not that way. I can like individual people that I know from Texas and fans, and our sweet producer Jasmine is a Texas Longhorn and lover. But I just can't, I don't have it in me. I will say though, after that game, when I heard this post game conversation and comment and like monologue a little bit from it's Jade, what's his last name? He was on the podium with
Barron.
Yeah, Jade Barron. And when I heard this, it
was awesome. It was a great perspective.
It was a yes, and I want to play it and then react to it out of it.
Thank you for coming.
All right, y'all. Thank you. Hook 'em.
I just want to say one thing. I mean, it's been amazing, just the opportunity. But at the end of the day, like, I just want everybody to know, like, you know, usually sometimes you always don't come out on top. But like, we won. We know, we truly know who our leader is, and that's God and Jesus Christ. And ultimately, just having the ability to use the gift that he gave us to share it to the world. I mean, it's been amazing, and obviously amazing for me just growing up in Austin and having an opportunity. But everybody's not blessed to do the things we do, to just to be here. You know, people dealing with fires and chaos in New Orleans. So just to have the opportunity to glorify God on the football field, it's truly been an honor. So I appreciate everybody.
Okay, Jolly, thank you so much.
So here's the deal, and I don't want to hear about religion and blah. It has nothing to do with religion to me, or with faith or spirituality or whatever. Those are all. I am a Christian, and I because of that, I love that perspective that he gave. I realize not everyone is, and that's not to me what this was about. The perspective that young man has and was able to articulate after losing probably the most disappointing game of his career. I have so much respect for that guy. I mean, so much. The fact that he, you know, basically said, no, I have one thing I want to say, and that we won because we have this opportunity. Like, I mean, if I was a business owner, I'd be like, can you come work for me right here, right now, because you you've got it figured out.
Yep. And that's the type of person people want to follow.
What a stud.
That's just like a leader mentality.
Yes.
Now the Longhorn Blowhard people might be pissed. It reminds me,
the Romo, is that what you're thinking
but
of?
In a different way.
A different
way. Like, Romo's was not very likable because he was like, I've got a hot girlfriend, I'm in Cabo, life is good. I think he might have been trying to say the same type
They're probably
of thing.
The same idea, but very different delivery.
Yes.
That kid, Jade, if you ever want to...
I hope he makes it to the NFL so he has a bigger platform.
If you
want to
come work for the Mom Game, you are welcome.
We're looking for an intern.
Yes. I'm sure you're in a position. But anyway, I sent it to my girlfriends. I was like, more of this, please. Like, just such perspective. Like, good for
great
you.
Perspective. Good I'd like to you. Talk to his parents, you know.
Yes.
They've done a good job, probably. And like, when your perspective is bigger than your age, it's like you sound a lot older and more mature than probably the rest of the people around
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. And that was awesome.
And the presence of mind in that moment.
Yeah.
To say, to know, like, I've got this stage. I want to communicate this.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with his religious beliefs or whatever, that's not what it's about, people. It's not what it's about. But just that perspective. Like, man, we could all learn a thing or two about that. Like, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he referenced the wildfires. And it's like, we're over here celebrating.
Right.
Not celebrating, but we're playing in a football game when this is all going on. Yeah. And, you know, there's bigger things going on. And I know we're going to talk about that here in a bit as well.
Dude was a stud.
Yes.
Okay. Are we going to go move on to the news desk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of
the news desk, brought to us by our friends at Estill Dog Psychology. Okay. I got my dogs back.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited to hear about it.
I got my dogs back. So Estill Dog Psychology my dogs went and stayed with him for a month. And it's not like it's not like, you know, a zapper and a, you know, it's, I don't know. It's like he's
different.
Yeah, it's different. So it's like connection over correction. And so you have to, like, it's all about like how you present yourself and how, and these dogs, it's just like kids. We talk about this, like, they want routine and they want consistency. And if you want them to behave a certain way, then you need to be consistent with the way that you approach them. And that's what he was teaching them and then also teaching us. We went for a 2-week check-in. And then at the end, when we picked him up, we had an hour plus session with Robbie. All my family went to make sure we're all on the same page. Now, it's not like they came home and they're perfect angels. Like, we still have to continue to work with them and to reinforce these things. And he's also not trying to make them dog robots. Like, they need to be dogs, but also too, they need to know that, like, when it's time for them to, you know, stay in their place or do,
it's called training.
Yes. Yeah. That there's a time for that. So anyway, Robbie's been fantastic. We're going to have him on, in a couple of weeks. And so he really just gives you the tools to take, you know, what he's taught your dogs and take it home with you so you can continue their development and all that kind of stuff. So he's fantastic. I can't say enough good things about him. You can check him out on Instagram at Estill Dog Psychology. That's E-S-T-I-L-L Dog Psychology. That's also his website, estilldogpsychology.com. Reach out to Robbie. I've had so many people message me and be like, what's the name of the dog guy? What's the name of the dog guy? It was so worth it. I'm so glad we did it. And I'm all in on it. I'm like, we are going to continue to do this as a family so we can actually walk our dogs and, you know, do things without them going badass crazy. So anyway, shout out to Robbie and Estill Dog Psychology for the work that they did with my Izzy and my Gallo. I'm happy to have him home, but we still got work to do. And then he's coming, I think, to our house in a couple of weeks to, you know, check in, reinforce some things, all that kind of stuff. So it's not just
it's a very immersive experience.
It is. It is. And if if dogs are a big part of your life, like, you want that instead of it being a whip and they're doing shit they're not supposed to be doing. So anyway, shout out to Robbie and glad to have my puppies back. So what were we talking about on what's on our feed?
Well, we were going to talk about all the stuff on our feed that is.
Oh, no, we're talking news desk first.
Yeah.
Oh, I got out of order. My bad.
Yeah.
fired.
How much are you paying attention to it?
So I paid more because we were snowed in and we didn't leave the house. I paid more attention than I probably would otherwise. There's so many, like, when it's overwhelming to me to like comprehend. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know. So I'm like, how did these start? And then how are there so many different ones so far apart? It's so weird.
It is weird.
I don't get it. And I think it's almost like, it's like we're going to talk about with, you know, our guests later. Like sometimes it's just so overwhelming. You're like, oh, I just don't understand. And exit. I don't get it.
I do the same. And we've talked about this when anything big in the world comes up, which has happened a lot over the course of the 5 years we've been doing this show. We kind of duck and cover.
Yeah.
Unless it's really affecting us.
Yes. And
that's not good.
No, it's not.
But at some point you have to protect your, I feel like sometimes our brains can only handle so much.
Yeah.
And sometimes my brain is at like 98% as is. that said, this is devastating.
Oh my gosh. It's awful.
Awful.
And people who are like, oh, good celebrities, liberals, blah, blah, blah. They get what they deserve. I'm like, are you a human being? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Who would think that or say that? Like, especially with all this insurance. And again, like, this is from me casually watching the news for a couple of days. But like the whole fact that the insurance policies got dropped, and the from what I understand, the reason they got dropped is because they were trying to raise the rates because they knew shit was not good, right? Yeah. Like they knew the conditions were primed for something like this to happen. And they were like, if we have got to protect ourselves as an insurance company, and so we've got to raise the rates. And in California, you cannot raise rates more than 7%, I believe it is. At a time, you have to get like some sort of like legislative approval or some shit like that. And so then they were like, well, then we're dropping all of this, because if we can't make enough money to protect the investment that we're making or that we're guaranteeing people, we got to pull out.
And that seems, I get that, but that seems irresponsible too. It's like just to leave people without any insurance.
But it also seems irresponsible for the people, because think about it too. If you're a business and you can't, you're like this, we're on the Titanic.
Yeah.
It's going to sink. And so we've got to abandon ship.
Hopefully they provided some options of people who can help.
I know
that's not their job as a business, but.
Right. But that's tough. The way it was across the board.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not getting into, you know, political discussion, but in my last few visits to California and like just seeing like the bureaucracy that takes place there, like with my Uber rides and my Starbucks mobile app order. I don't think, and then you got earthquakes and wildfires.
It's been a mess.
And I'm like, I don't know that you could, and I know the weather's beautiful, but I don't know that you could pay me enough money to move to California.
Right.
It just seems like there's a whole lot going on there.
And
And they probably say the same thing about us, like gun-toting Texans. What are they doing down there thinking it's the Wild West and shit? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot. The Pacific Palisades is absolutely gorgeous. Like, so beautiful.
Yeah, and I don't know that I've ever been there.
I've never been there.
And so I was texting Sandra Beltre, because they're in that area. So I started checking in on them, you know, pretty early on. And she, you know, she would always respond like, we're in the evacuation area, but we're holding on for a little bit. And I haven't talked to her in the last day or two, but they seem to be they thought in the clear, but then weather was supposed to kick back up again with those Santa Ana winds. And I lived in Southern California when I was in second and third grade, so very young. But those Santa Ana winds are no fucking joke. Like, no joke. I mean, they were like 80 miles an hour. It's insanity. Yeah. It's so weird.
And that's why it's picked up.
Yes. Right.
Dry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just crazy. And it makes you think, like, if this was you, you know, what would you do? Like, what would you do? What if you knew that if you could see the fire in the distance and you knew it was coming, like, what would you go grab?
Yeah.
You know, I just found myself thinking, like, what would I get? And like, how would I? And then I was like looking around my house and I was like, well, I don't have that much nice stuff. I could use a refresh. I've been wanting to redo this kitchen anyways. My husband will finally have to give me this new kitchen.
Yeah.
Burn the shit down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not funny, but
you know, I know.
Trying to make a joke. But like, I would grab pictures, you know, things that are irreplaceable. Well, but that's why I hang on to shit on my phone.
Oh, honey, my shit's on Shutterfly. Don't you worry. Okay. I've got double copies.
It's the stuff, it's just like my kids' stuff that would break my heart. You know, like they have their little world. Like they have their stuff, you know, and we could replace it. But the people whose homes are burning down,
oh my gosh,
they're amazing homes that have been lived in for decades that are just like perfectly curated every corner. Like,
yeah,
you know, awful. But they do have money, but it's just a disaster. You know, not everybody does.
Absolutely not.
The ones that I'm seeing, it's like Ricky Lake, you know.
Like, right. But like there are also people who, you know,
a lot of people that don't.
Yeah. That bought their house and, you know, 77 or something,
right?
And
it also makes you think, like, do you have savings? Like, you know, say your house burns down and insurance is like, sorry.
Yeah,
it makes you think about the way you're budgeting, and are you putting money in the bank, and what if all of a sudden,
well, and also, you know, too, and as much as insurance companies are going to get slammed on this, but do you have insurance? Like, are you because there are some insurance companies, like, you can't get flood insurance because you're gonna flood at some point, and so they can't do that. And so I respect that as a business, you making that decision, like, I can't do that knowing that this is not, and if I'm going to do it, I'm going to have to charge you at the wazoo to do it.
But also, you're living somewhere where it might flood, so you need insurance. So where's the middle ground? Something's got to give.
Right.
Hard.
Right. So if you're living.
Solve all the problems.
Right. I know. Oh my God. It seems like a disaster. And like the fire chief and the mayor and the governor, I'm like, oh, good luck to y'all and these powwows.
We wish them all
but
the
yeah
best.
It's awful, like, in regardless of your what I mean, just come, like, people shouldn't be reveling in this or whatever, like,
yeah. And I don't think most people are.
I don't
usually
think
the ones
people
who are.
Are
the loudest, right? Like, yes. the bad people are the loudest, and they make the most noise. I think there's a lot of good happening.
Annoying.
There's a lot of people helping. There's a lot of people I even know, you know, just I think we all know people that are helping to you know, bring donations there and do what they can to help. But absolutely devastating what's going on. Yeah. And it's a weird feeling, like, going to bed. That's all I'm seeing. My algorithm has noticed that I watch the fire videos. So I'm getting only fire videos on Instagram now. It's a weird thing to kind of put yourself to sleep to.
I know. Speaking of, we need to get to our guest here pretty soon. But what is on your feed, brought to us by our lovely friends at Audrey Dolan's Media?
Yes, Audrey Dolan's Media, thank you so much for everything you've been doing for our social media, our marketing, kind of giving us a glow up. We are super appreciative. If you've tuned into our social media accounts, you might notice that everything looks a little bit better. Everything looks nicer. We have an LTK going. We have a newsletter going. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, make sure that you do, because you hear us talk about these awesome sponsors. And by the way, our sponsors are people that we're excited to bring to you because we think that they're helpful for you. And a lot of them do offer discount codes, and you can find all of those on our newsletter. And our newsletter is curated by Audrey Dolan's Media, and we're super grateful for her and all of their help with the Mom Game. AudreyDolans.com if you need some help as well with your business.
Okay, so there's a couple of things we wanted to discuss that our girl Jasmine, which we'll introduce everybody to Jasmine in the next couple of weeks. But so there's some new studies out and some surveys and things.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is that 45% of Americans are cool with holiday decor staying up all year. What is wrong with you people?
That's actually very shocking.
45%?
Because I feel like I'm on the, like, I'm kind of a laid back type person, and even I have a limit.
Okay, what's your limit?
I mean, mine's all gone.
Okay.
Granted, I had help from the family concierge.
Okay.
And if it weren't for her, I think I'd still be pretty much wrapping it up slowly now.
Right.
Oh, here we are on, you know, mid-January.
Yeah.
But all year long?
No, it's not okay. It's not okay. Can I tell you what I did this year? So instead of packing all my Christmas decor up, I have empty cabinet space in each room, basically, where the decorations are. Mm-hmm. So I just put them in there. Oh. It made me feel so amazing.
So then next year you can just...
I mean, I still had some bins that needed to go up into the attic. Because we know how it is when you ask the husband to get shit out of the attic.
Oh my
God. It's just like, I mean, it's just, might as well ask him to grab a Sherpa and scale Mount Everest.
That's right.
It's just like, meanwhile, I'm going to spend hours getting all of this in order. I'm asking you for 7 minutes of your life to pull that little door from the ceiling down, grab that ladder and hike your ass up there and bring some boxes. Mm-hmm. But you would think it is just... the biggest,
that
my,
one.
Mike calls it, my husband calls it, tax day. Oh, okay, tax day. April 15th over here. I'm like, really?
Just do it.
Really?
Getting stuff out of the attic. Family pictures.
Oh, the pictures. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's all lucky. There. He's lucky, though, that you hire someone to do lights, right? Or in like,
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Because that's the other one for my husband. Well, it's yeah. Granted, this year we did well. He did well.
He did.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm saving our marriage.
Yeah.
I'm saving our marriage.
You know what little task my husband cannot handle me asking him for help with? And it's really hard to do alone. Changing the sheets.
Oh.
He's like, oh, really? I'm like, yes. It's hard because it's like. It's,
so many corners.
I need two people on either side of the bed. Otherwise, I'm like going here and then I'm going here and then I'm pulling here and then it pops off here. And then I'm like literally darting around a room. Like if there's two people, we can do it very quickly.
Yes.
But
yeah.
He hates that task.
I know. It's so weird.
I mean, I guess we all have our tasks we don't like.
I know.
As women, we just know that we have to do them.
I know.
Because we were born with different private parts.
Yeah. I know. So there we go on. We love you, Kelly and Mike. We love you so much.
Yeah.
I don't think that Christmas decorations should stay up all day long, all year long.
I don't either.
As evidenced by the fact that mine were down on December 26th.
Well, you're crazy.
Yeah. Also, I'm crazy. But yeah. So I think that this does not need to be normalized. I think we need to ostracize these people.
What about
people?
Just lights being up for a while?
No, and they're going to go bad. Like, they're... like,
light?
Right? Aren't they going to go bad? Are you turning them on? Like, are we doing that?
I don't know, but I've seen some lights up still, and I like it. Lights... Christmas lights make me happy.
Okay. But what if it's... okay, so it's mid-July, and it's 110 in Dallas.
Then I'm going to be like, oh, it's so hot. Oh, Christmas lights.
Like, what is it called? Like the thing that like sees the little thing going past it.
Yeah.
Like that you get distracted.
Yeah.
What's
like
it called?
A squirrel. I don't know.
A squirrel. Okay. Whatever. Okay. Well, I think that's
just
ridiculous.
Anything that changes your like dreary mindset.
Right.
That's kind of what Christmas lights are.
Okay. Well, maybe there's some benefit to it. Maybe Julie's going to be in the 45% camp.
I told you mine are down.
Christmas decorations up all year long. Okay. Another one out. Phone calls make Gen Z nervous. Right. While I'm reading this headline, please look up what year's Gen Z is.
Okay.
So we know. And then we need to figure out what we are. Are we millennial? No.
I think I'm. You're not. Sorry.
Oh, so rude.
Gen Z is born.
That was. Whoa. No. Backtrack. And I'm supposed to be the bitchy one?
I'm just messing with you.
You just shots fired from the bow.
Well,
I mean, you're not.
Millennials were born between 1981 and 96. So.
Okay, that's you, millennial.
Yeah.
I missed it by like 4 years. What am I?
Let's see. You're Gen X, born between 1965 and 1980.
Okay, so I'm Gen X.
Yeah, you're Gen X.
Okay, well, apparently phone calls make Gen Z nervous. So there's a college course to teach them how to talk on the phone. Your
I hope
thoughts,
this isn't like widespread college course. Like this is just a one-off, I hope.
Let's hope. But okay. But
are we paying bajillions of dollars to send our kids to college to learn how to talk on the phone? I hope not.
No.
Because now college is going to be a moot point. Like we don't need college anymore if this is what college is.
I feel like we're already getting there.
And
college is so expensive.
It is.
But
what do we do with them after high school?
I know.
They got to move out.
100%.
So then we need people to quit requiring college degrees because we need people to hire them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. But don't you think.
We've got to figure all this out.
Okay. But think about this. Think about how excited you were to get your driver's license.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So for me, that was, holy shit, that was 30 years ago. 30 years ago. I could not wait. I was the youngest in my grade. I was the last one to get my driver's license. I could not wait. Now there are people that are, they have zero interest in driving, getting a driver's license. And I think a lot of it might be COVID related with the driving thing. But like talking on the phone, you could talk on the phone all you wanted during COVID. Like, where is this coming from? Like, are we that? And I can't talk, like, because I have social anxiety disorder. Like, and it's very mild, but whatever.
But you said you've kind of always had it.
No. Well.
Oh.
No. Honey, remember?
You've always had anxiety.
I've always had anxiety. Not social anxiety. I mean,
you've always had anxiety. So social anxiety probably rooted from anxiety.
For sure. I don't know. And that's another thing we need to talk about. We need to have somebody on to tell us the difference between, because I get killed on, not, I say killed, like two people reach out to me every time I talk about my OCD. They're like, you do not have OCD. You're just anal, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know the difference. However, we do have an example of legit OCD. And it was with the kicker in the Washington Commanders game. Mm-hmm. And there was a clip of him that's gone viral where
looks like he's obsessed with his hair.
Yeah. So we've got it. You can see it right here. He's messing with his hair, like just over and over again, doing the same things before he, it's not like he's really concerned about what his hair looks like. He's putting his helmet on. But obviously this is some sort of like nervous tic.
Yeah.
It's something that he carries with him.
Trying to win the game against Tampa Bay.
And I'm sure he was nervous as hell. And so that's what happens. Like, I think about like Joey Gallo. He did the tics and he would, you know, do his shoulders and, you know,
all in his like
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's part of, I mean, it's a thing for him. So I don't know. And so we're putting a call out. Like somebody, I want an expert on to explain the difference between like anxiety, OCD, being anal, like what can someone diagnose me so I don't keep saying I think I'm OCD,
I've got a person.
Okay. So we need to get somebody on to talk about that. But you feel bad for this guy because now that thing has gone viral. And so people will make fun of him. And then that will probably escalate it 10 million times, you know. But it is the world we live in.
He made the kick.
He did.
Barely.
He doinked it.
It makes you wonder because I felt stressed out for him.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I was doing the Dumb Zone watch party and we were kind of like, why is he so obsessed with his hair?
Well, because you
didn't
know.
We were being kind of mean. But now I feel bad for him. And he barely made the kick. And I'm like, how have you existed this long in the NFL with that, like with getting that nervous?
Yeah.
And then you wonder if the nerves affected him almost missing like a 30 something yard kick. But he did it anyway. But yeah, I believe this because I know lots of Gen Z people and they don't like talking on the phone. They all want to text. They all want to Snapchat. They all want to Instagram. They all want to group me. They all want to.
Okay. Can I tell you something though?
Anything but pick up a phone and call.
So. But can I just have a moment of truth here? Not with everyone.
Yeah.
Like not with everyone. So I wonder if that's it, that they're used to their little Gen Z club and all they do is text and group me and send memes and stuff.
Yeah.
And so if someone's calling, it means they're outside their little Gen Z bubble and it makes them nervous.
Probably.
Because, like, for me, like, if somebody calls, like, you know, that I know and love, like, I'm answering right away. And let's chop it up and, you know, get into it. But, like, if it's someone I don't know or someone maybe I might be trying to avoid or something.
Right. I'm like, kind of the same way.
I would rather deal with this through text.
Yeah.
Or email than, like, an actual, you know, conversation.
I'm kind of the same way. But usually it's just because I'm busy. Like, because I don't want to
for sure
give a stranger a bunch of my time.
Right. Yeah. Which is understandable.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I believe it, but I hope people can still communicate in person with each other because that's important in life.
And that's not even in person.
Right.
That's over the phone.
I know. So think about in person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Okay. We have a really cool guest that we need to get to. But first we want to talk about
Something cool coming up that we're both going to.
Yes.
TMG Happenings, and it is brought to us by our friends over at Community Mechanical. You might have noticed with this most recent freeze, maybe your heater wasn't working very well, and maybe you needed to get that fixed. We do have more cold coming in like a week, and then we're probably going to have more cold coming, and then not long after that, we're going to have hot coming. And so you need a go-to company that can help you with all of your HVAC needs, and lucky for you, we have somebody here, Community Mechanical. They can help you out. It's some guys that were in jobs that they didn't think were their forever jobs. They teamed up and they started this company together. They're great dudes, and they have come out to my house. They also came out and serviced Dan McDowell's house and were able to tell him that his house would have blown up had they not come out there because he had some wire hanging and didn't even know it. So needless to say, just have them come out, check things out, and they can tell you if things are A-okay or if you need some help. Community Mechanical, they can do your preventative maintenance. They can tell you when it's time to switch out your air filters and even do it for you. That's another one of those husband jobs that they don't like, switching out the air filters. 0% financing, and you can call or text them. Also, if you're building a home, they can help you plan things out. They can figure out your duct work. They have somebody with design background on staff to help with all of this. So whatever your HVAC needs are, they can help. 469-667-7290. Call or text. Or if you're nervous to text or call, go to communitydfw.com and tell them that you heard about them from us here on The Mom Game.
Great segue, Julie. Okay, the TMG happening we want to tell you about today is, of course, the North Texas Food Bank's Empty Bowls event presented by Kroger. The event will feature expanded chef stations with a bowl-friendly dish, actually multiple dishes, from some of your favorite restaurants. You've got Brian Lusker, who is the featured chef known by the popular menus at Taverna Rosa, Union Bear, and others. There will be food trucks, a digital cookbook featuring the recipes that you get to try at the event. You also get your own handcrafted artisan bowl to take home with you. It's a one-of-a-kind piece of pottery that is meant to serve as a reminder that not all of our neighbors have access to nutritious food with which to fill their bowls. There will be a silent auction. It is the 25th anniversary of this event, so there will be some exciting surprises. Julie and I will be there.
Yay!
It's a huge fundraiser for the North Texas Food Bank, and so far it has raised $2.7 million over the last 25 years, thanks to the generous Empty Bowls guests and sponsors, of which we will be a part of this year. We are so excited. We've got the link to get tickets through us on our link tree. That is ntfb.org/EB10. EB10.
Yeah. Also on our newsletter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So come on and celebrate with us
Campaign. At
North Texas Food Bank's Empty Bowls event.
And we are so thrilled now to be joined by our special guest for the day. It is Paige Lohhofer with the Birthday Party Project. And I love how organically this happened because we were talking about a couple of things here on the show. We learned about y'all's organization and boom, you're here today to talk all about it. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited, you guys. Thank you.
It's going to be so fun. Okay, so I've heard about the Birthday Party Project forever. I mean, since way back in the Michael Young, Ian Kinsler days with the Rangers. Tell us kind of how this was born, and then I want to talk a little bit about you just personally. So start with the nonprofit first.
Yeah, sure. Great. So back in 2008, was pregnant with my daughter, Lizzie, and I was on an airplane reading a magazine article about kids' birthday parties. And this was before Instagram, Pinterest, all the things. So I'm sitting there just dreaming about all the ways that I could celebrate Lizzie, because that's what I did for a living. I actually had a party planning, event planning business. And so I planned weddings and bar and bat mitzvahs literally all over the world. And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a great time. Like, I loved being a part of people's celebrations. And so as I'm sitting on this airplane and I'm reading this magazine and thinking about these big parties, because, you know, Dallas, we do it big in Dallas, you know, pink ponies and all the ways that we can make it great. I actually put that magazine down and I picked up another magazine and I flipped open to an article about children in Haiti. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with things like this, but there was this image that struck me. It was a black and white image of a little boy. And, you know, he has sunken eyes and a bloated belly and there's chaos and destruction in the background. And all I could think was, what about him? I mean, I'm sitting here daydreaming about these big parties that I'll throw for my daughter, but there are children out there that might not ever feel celebrated on their birthday. And I just sat there, you know, very pregnant, just bawling hysterically.
I'm so emotional.
You know, the ugly cry, just like, what do I do about this? What do I do about this? And I really couldn't reconcile it in the moment. And then, you know, I'm very pregnant. So fast forward, and I've had a kid, and I'm still, you know, planning and executing weddings and events all over the place. But I just couldn't shake this feeling of like, I should be celebrating kids that need to be celebrated. How do I do this? And so I started volunteering here locally at different shelters, just understanding, like, is this a place that we might be able to come in and bring, infuse some joy into these circumstances? And at one point, I went into a Family Gateway in downtown Dallas. And as I was just kind of understanding who they were, getting to know them, I said, you know what? I have this idea, and I just want to run it by you. What would you think if I came in and threw birthday parties for your kids? And she said, you know what? I love the idea. And people have good intentions and great ideas, and they come to us with these all the time. Mm-hmm. And they'll come once or twice, mm-hmm. and then they won't come again. And our kids, they crave consistency. And I'm thinking, all kids crave consistency, sure. Right? And as I heard that, I thought, oh, if I want to do something like this, then I need to be serious about it. So I gathered my favorite, what I call personal board of directors, like those people that will literally speak truth into my life, gathered them around, and I was like, I think I want to throw birthday parties for kids experiencing homelessness. I think this is what it could look like. And they were all like very emphatically for it. So in 2012, I walked in with my favorite friends, those that I knew if I fell flat on my face and failed, that they would still be there. I walked into Family Gateway with them, and we threw our very first birthday party, and we celebrated 11 birthdays with about 60 or so kids in attendance that night. Wow. And my life was changed.
Oh, that's so awesome. So what kind of challenges did you face other than like needing to, like you said, be serious about it? The execution, a lot of people, you know, I run a nonprofit, I don't run it. I'm the president of the nonprofit foundation called the Do It for Dura Foundation. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not an easy undertaking.
No.
And so what kind of, you know, challenges did you encounter, and how did you overcome those?
Sure. I mean, the least of which is that I'm a working mom and I have this big business that I've grown over here. I have this idea that I want to like set fire to, but also I have a toddler running around. So that's one of the challenges. But really it came into, I had to get really clear about what we could do and what we were willing to do and what we were not willing to do. And I had to do that really quickly. For instance, people would say, oh, well, what if you also have a clothing drive? What if we also do mentoring? Yeah. What if we can also do these things, which are all really great things? But I knew that if I didn't focus on what I set out to do, that I would lose my way. And so focusing on what was most important to us, that was one challenge actually for me, because I'm a yes girl. I want to say yes to all of it. I want to do all the things all the time. The other thing is, you know, we grew grassroots organically, word of mouth. It was literally like, just come through a party, invite your friends to the next one. But when you think about building a business, there are a lot of like tactical things that actually have to happen. Like, oh, I don't know, making sure that you're registered with the IRS, you know, keeping up with donations. Like, so just the back end office stuff created enough challenge for me early on that I realized, if we were going to do this well, we had to bring people on that knew how to do things better than I did. But there's this pull, I think, for me in that moment of like, I want people to like what we're doing. I want them to understand it. I want them to like it, and I want them to join in. So does that mean that I have to sacrifice any of our kind of goals and values to make that happen? And that was a place that I held tension around for a long time. There are a lot of people with opinions about what you should and should not be doing.
You should and shouldn't be doing it?
Yes, in all parts of our life. And I I certainly, you know, probably made some enemies along the way, but I had to stay true to what I felt like was most important and trust my gut that led us to this place in the beginning.
So one thing I want that you said that struck with me is that you can't do all of it. You can't do everything. You have to find one thing. And it leads me back to, not to get super religious on anyone, but we had a sermon a couple of months ago about, like, and our pastor, who's the official spiritual advisor of the Mom Game, by the way, Lance Marshall, was talking about how you get so overwhelmed with, like, you know, take for example, you know, the forest fires in California. Like, you feel so overwhelmed that, like, well, I mean, I can't do anything to make a difference there. So why, or here or wherever it is. So I'm just not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. But it's like what you do is you do one small thing, and then it shows others, and hopefully other people do one small thing, and all those things add up. And it goes back to, and I don't know, sorry about this rant, but it goes back to the innkeeper with when Jesus Nazareth, all that. I'm not really good at the Bible, but you know, people were like, oh, well, what did he do? I mean, he put him in a fucking state. Excuse me. Sorry.
Jesus. We did say one time we need a throw pillow that says, I love the Bible, but I cuss a lot.
Right.
And yes. There you go.
I love Jesus, but I cuss a lot.
I'm in great company.
I love Jesus, but I cuss a lot. Once again, anyway, needs to be a throw pillow, courtesy of the Mom Game.
I know. But the guy, the innkeeper, he did something.
That's
he
right.
found them a place
right.
to, you know, it, granted right. it was a stable, but that's all he could do.
That's right.
And so I feel like that's something when we get so overwhelmed by situations and different things like that, where you just like, well, I mean, I can't do anything. So I mean, I'm just not going to do anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you can.
You can. And you can leverage others' skills and talents as well. I have a friend and she says, ask yourself the question, what's mine to do in this scenario? And that is stuck with me. Like, what's mine to do here? Because there are times that I want to do all of it. And there are times that, frankly, I don't want to do any of it. Right. But I know that there is something in there that's likely mine to do. And once I realize, like, oh, gosh, these are the things I'm really good at. And if you make me live in spreadsheets, I am going to crumble. I will literally just fall into a fetal position. Let me find somebody that knows how to deal with spreadsheets.
Sure.
Right. And so bringing people along. But that's the beauty of this mission, is we have been built by the power of people from the very beginning.
Yeah. And that's such a great phrase. What's mine
that's
to
what
do?
I was like what, going the, to write down.
Yeah. What a great question to ask yourself. What's mine to do?
Because you can apply it in so many different situations. And I love how what you said, Em, just kind of takes, like, when someone's feeling overwhelmed with how to help, well, this is how you can kind of compartmentalize and deal with it. And also something you said struck a chord with me and thinking about business, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, In us, you know, I come at Emily all the time with, like, ideas, like, let's do this and let's do that and let's take over the world and let's make a network and let's do this. And she's just like, oh, how about we just focus on this? And then, like, we start here and then we grow and then we grow, you know, and here we are 5 years in and we're you know, and you have to have those people.
You do.
And I'm sure you're finding that with the nonprofit and
totally.
The way
and the
you
right
guys have
mix.
Been able to grow.
Yeah.
The it's
right
about
mix
the right
them.
Mix, putting the right people around you.
That's right.
And not trying to do way too much all at once. And how long have y'all been operating now?
We are celebrating 13 years this
13
month.
13 years.
Actually.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how much has it grown?
What does, like, it look like now?
Sure. So what started, you know, here in Dallas at one agency, meaning that we celebrated by throwing one party a month. The third Thursday of every month, you would find us at Family Gateway hosting a celebration for all the kids that have birthdays that month. We've now grown to 15 cities around the country. We partner with over 80 agencies every single month. Not only are we throwing themed birthday bashes to celebrate all of our kids, but we're also have a program called Birthday in a Bag. And our Birthday in a Bag program, it's like drawstring backpack. It says best day ever. And it has age-appropriate games and activities for kids so that in hard-to-reach places. So imagine that you are couch surfing in high school and it's your birthday. Well, in DISD specifically, one of the counselors can reach into her bag of tricks, literally pull out a birthday in a bag, and they can have a celebration right there for a kid. So this was really helpful to us during COVID when the world stopped. And what we do is come into somebody's, you know, environment, their home, so to speak, at their shelter, and throw a big party. And when we realized we couldn't do that anymore, Birthday in a Bag was born. And what we found is, and I want to brag about this because it's something that I didn't realize. It was such an unexpected gift to us, is I thought, well, we get to help families celebrate. Like, look at us. Like, here we are. We're, you know, giving bags to agencies and they're going to give them to the parent and the parent's going to. Well, it actually provided such this like recipe of empowerment for the parent, especially women fleeing domestic violence situations. She felt like she had a little bit of control, autonomy, agency to host a party for her kid inside their room.
Yeah.
And that for me was like this moment of, oh, what we do is so much more than just a party.
Yeah.
It was really, it was a great, yeah, it's great. So, we've grown so much over the last 13 years, and I am amazed. I'm amazed at the amount of people who have come alongside us and said yes to our mission. I'm really grateful.
Yeah, and you mentioned, like you mentioned with Ian and Tess Kinsler, and as they've moved kind of around the country based on where Ian was playing, that they kind of, how did that work? You said they took the birthday party project with them.
They
How do things like that work?
I mean, it's amazing. He, you know, he goes to Detroit and Tess says, there's a lot of need in Detroit. Let's do this. And so we have great people like the Kinslers who were willing to, you know, basically sponsor starting up in a different market. And so when we go to places like that, we get the opportunity to meet so many great agencies. Those are shelters that are doing incredible work in their area. And so we get to go in and say hello and tour. Tess and I have been on lots of tours together, actually, and being able to see, like, where can we fit into this environment and make a significant impact? So it's been great. They've been incredible supporters of ours for a long time.
So cool. So cool.
So I'm actually going to volunteer this week.
Yes!
because when, you know, I had heard about this concept too, just like, you know, for a few years, and it might have been via the Jordan Spieth connection. His wife, I know, sure, worked with you guys and was involved. And I feel like in the area that I live, which isn't even the most affluent in DFW, but it's not, you know, it's around, it's okay. Things get out of control. Like,
yes,
things get out of control with birthday parties,
yes,
with the clothes, with the shoes, with, like, my son always asking for a new jersey, like, once a week. And jerseys are $90. And he just doesn't know. And it just can blow up so quickly with these kids. So that's one of the reasons why I know personally I want to bring my kids in. And I've been trying to figure out the right way for them to see that there's a whole nother world out there, mm-hmm, that they're very lucky, that they need to be appreciative for what they have, and not just be appreciative for what they have, but give back to,
sure,
people that don't have as much. So I'm super excited to bring them in. We're bringing another family. They're actually from Spain. I love them so much because they have such a good worldview of life and not a little localized Dallas view.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm excited. This Thursday, I think we're going to be with you. So we're going to be packing bags, I think, and that kind of thing. You might can explain what we're going to be doing. And then we're also going to go to a birthday party as well. But I just kind of wanted to talk about that because I know before we even started shooting, you were mentioning that was kind of a part of this. And you talked about the pony and,
yes,
you got to have a unicorn,
yes,
and you got to,
yes,
spend $1,000,
yes,
on a party. And It's just a big, vast difference.
It really is. Oh, so when we launched, Lizzie, my daughter, was 3, and I committed to making sure that she came to parties with me from the very beginning. And when she started coming to parties at 3, it's really hard to explain what's going on. So then I would say things like, go find a friend. Like, just go ask them a question. Like, where do you go to school? What's your name? Just ask, like, regular questions. Go find a friend. And so for years, she would just go in and find a friend. And then she started to recognize that she could play a different role in the parties. And then she would come kind of what I would call around the table, right? So then she would be on the side of helping. And she would volunteer at a table and sit and do crafts and activities with kids. Even though now she's 16, she still sometimes goes and finds a friend. And what I love about that, what I hope that she is learning, is that there are a lot of people in this world that have different circumstances than us, but we all kind of go through some of the same stuff. There's so much of who we are as individuals that our makeup is very similar, right? And I want her to recognize that just because they live somewhere else, they're experiencing something different, doesn't mean that they're so different that you can't get to know them and have a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it starts early. I mean, I love that you were bringing your kids in now, because you get to decide what those conversations look like, right? You might be able to say when after the party, you know, did you know that kids live here? Did you know that kids are living in a room that's this with their mom and their dad that's the size of your bedroom? Do you know what that looks like? We have lots of conversations around that. But more than anything, I hope that the awareness is, I can have a lot of fun giving back. And I can have a lot of fun, like, getting to know people that aren't like me. And I think that that's one of the most special parts of our parties, is just building that connection.
I mean, the connection.
Because as parents, you're trying so hard to give your children, you know, even things that you didn't have, or make sure that they... But it's like, we can't make shit too comfortable for them. Like, that's not a good idea either. Because then they're going to turn into a-holes, you know, if you make stuff too easy for them. And so... I mean, I think things like that, especially that are so kid conducive, an organization like yours is the perfect setting for, you know, for kids to volunteer and to learn about those things. So you're doing great work. It seems amazing. Tell us, you know, for those listening and watching, you know, how can people get involved? What do you need?
Ways you can volunteer. Well, yeah. There's a couple different ways.
For sure. So, of course, we're very family friendly, as you all know. And so whether you come to party headquarters, what we call it, and you come in and wrap gifts, you get to pick out gifts for our kids literally from their wish list, and you can wrap the gifts and get them ready for a party. You can fill birthday in a bags for us at Party HQ, or you can register and join us at one of our parties, which we host those at our agency partners. So I know that you're going to a party in a couple of months, which mm-hmm. will allow you guys to step into somebody else's home and host a party while we're there. And sometimes you celebrate with one child's birthday with 30 kids. Maybe other times you've got 20 kids who have a birthday that month. You just never know. So those are two ways, of course, that you all can volunteer. We are always looking for gifts for our kids. We go through about 1,000 gifts every single month, and we have an Amazon wish list, so you can shop the wish list, and it is updated. Okay. It is updated with kids' wishes from their wish list. We get these from our agency partners, and they'll say, you know, Jane wants a Barbie, and we'll make sure that Jane gets a Barbie. So our Amazon wish list is a great place that you can shop for one of our birthday kids. And of course, when you give to the Birthday Party Project, you become part of our community of birthday enthusiasts, as we call it. So the support that we have from so many great partners around the country allows us to continue celebrating the lives of children experiencing homelessness who so much deserve to feel celebrated on their birthday.
So awesome. You must be so proud of yourself.
You know, I don't take much time.
You should be.
To let the confetti
fall. I'm here to tell you, you should be proud of yourself.
What I'm proud of is that people continue to say yes.
Yeah.
And I'm proud that people use the skills and the talents that they have, because I couldn't do it alone. And so for me, like, that's the greatest testament.
Yeah.
And just, you know, to that tone and to that effect, how awesome does it feel to see these kids, you know, experience these parties and just benefit from this?
It's the best.
Do you get to talk to them about it? Do they get to, you know, just tell you how they're feeling? Like, they'd probably talk about it for days after, draw pictures about it. What's that like?
We really have had so many incredible stories, but one in particular that stands out to me is there's a domestic violence agency in town where a mom came in the middle of the night and with three children. And so she comes in literally in the middle of the night with three children. And the next morning we get a phone call saying, hey, I know you guys are hosting a birthday party tonight. We had a new kid come in overnight and it's their birthday month. Can you all bring a gift, you know, for them? And of course we say yes to that, and we will always make sure that we are ready to celebrate all of the children. So what we call our party coordinators, they went out, they found a gift just for this child, and then when it came time for the celebration, these three kids came into the room very shy. I mean, they you know, they just moved environments. I'm sure that they're just trying to figure out what's going on in the world and in their lives. And they walk into the cafeteria and you see them all kind of in a line, you know, the oldest down to the youngest. And they walk in and we're greeting them. Come in, let's have some fun. And the oldest, Eduardo, decides to make it his mission to make sure that his sisters have the best time at this party. So he is, you know, taking them around from one activity to another. And midway through the party, we realize that it's Eduardo. Eduardo, we're celebrating your birthday today. And his eyes like light up. And it, you could tell that he was so like he wasn't sure what was happening. And we put a birthday badge around his neck. And he like stands a little taller. And he's like, how did you know it was my birthday? Right. Yeah. And I said, oh, we've got birthday fairies everywhere. They tell us everything. And but he continued to use his time at this party to make sure his sisters were having a great time. And then as his mom walked in the room, we started to line up our birthday kids to sing happy birthday. And when we do that, we call them all by names. Everybody give it up for Eduardo. Everybody give it up for Jalen. And everybody erupts in cheering. And she came into the room just as this was happening. And you saw it in her face, like just totally overwhelmed, right, by all of it. And after the party, she came up to us and said, I have been so like not able to focus on what was going on. I just wanted to keep my family safe, basically. And I've been so focused on keeping my family safe that I didn't even remember that his birthday is today.
Oh, wow.
Today.
That's why he was so surprised when y'all knew.
Today.
Yeah.
And that story for me is one of the most profound because I just, it sticks with me because that rarely happens. It rarely happens that we show up on somebody's birthday. It rarely happens that somebody moves in the middle of the night to their birthday month. But for us, I was like, this is it. Like, this is why we do what we do, just to provide peace of mind, provide hope and joy to kids in those moments. I mean, that's what we get to do every single month.
Awesome.
Yeah. So awesome.
That's great. I can't wait to experience it and see
I'm
it for
so
myself.
Excited.
I'm so glad you were able to come on and join us.
Yeah. And then before we let you go, do tell, like, where can we find, where can people find, like you talked about all the different ways to help and contribute and volunteer, where can they find that information?
Sure. TheBirthdayPartyProject.org or follow us on Instagram at The Birthday Party Project. Lots of information there as well.
Okay. Awesome. Paige, thank you so much. This was so fun to talk
to you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. I think we'll be probably blasting out that Amazon wish list link.
Absolutely.
Too, to all of
thank
our
you. Absolutely. Thank all right. You. Keep doing good work, honey. We're proud of you. Okay. We end every show by looking into the camera. That's yours. And it's cheesy, but we've done it for 5 years, so we're keeping doing it. You throw up the peace signs and you say mom game out on the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Mom game out.
Yay. Oh, that was awesome. I got teary.
Thanks, I know. Guys. I did.